morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and I urge everyone to stay tuned in to today's show because we're going to talk about everybody's favorite topic. Joe, what's your favorite topic?
Soccer.
Money, not soccer, sorry. First, let me introduce our star-studded cast. Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is back from vacation. Joe, where the heck did you go?
We went to Disney World.
How was
Orlando,
it?
Orlando, Florida. It was awesome. We had a great time.
No monorail incidents, right?
There's no, not with
Thank
me.
Thank goodness.
Okay, good.
Not with me. We've got Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine here. Andy, rumor has it you've joined a swim club this summer. What's that all about?
Sweet pool and tennis club.
You're doing lots of swimming?
My son's doing lots of swimming.
And have you stepped into the pool yet?
Hanging out and other stuff.
Skulking.
Are you skulking? Skulking. That sounds like a good summer activity for
you. Barbecuing and drinking beer.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supply Global Resource Magazine, is here. Michelle, how was the surf this weekend in Avalon?
It was fabulous. It was beautiful. The weather was great. The boys were cute.
Okay. That's important. And did you actually surf?
No, I did not.
Do you know how?
Michelle surfing?
I do know how to surf,
actually. I can see her surfing, actually.
Okay.
Kathy Houston is taking her turn. She's on vacation this week in Ocean City, Maryland. But we have the very capable Nicole Rollander, editor of Stitches Magazine, in her place. Nicole, do you have any plans for vacation for you and your new baby this summer?
Actually, not really. We're just trying to make it through the summer alive.
You're vacationing in the nursery.
Vacationing at home, yeah, in the backyard.
As always, we want you to call in and weigh in on anything and everything we talk about on the show, but we also have a special topic today. We'd like suppliers and distributors to call us and tell us the one piece of business advice they've received which generated sales or saved them money. If you call us and we put you on the air, we will send you a $25 Visa gift card. Start calling us now at 215-953-4979. That's 215-953-4979. Joe, what's on tap for today's show?
We have a full slate as usual. Once again, Andy will whet our appetites with another wet. SOI sneak peek. And I spelled it the correct way, W-H-E-T.
You did spell it right.
How about that? The promo biz coach, Rosalie Marcus, will be calling in to talk about the networking for women's session to be held at next week's ASI show in Chicago. Whether you're a supplier or distributor, doesn't matter. We want to hear from you. Ring us up at 215-953-4979 with one piece of business advice that generated sales or saved you money. And as always, you can send an email to radio@asicentral.com. Get out the end of the year holiday decorations early, as Michelle has a report that holiday sales season
Joe's
actually
own notes
starts
just stumped
in
him.
July. Yeah, it did. Nicole has the antidote for boss haters, stars, and sliders, so stay tuned to get the lowdown. I have 6 tips for unleashing employee creativity. Dun, dun, dun. Andy announces the debut of Coast Cards, and if you have no idea what they are, well, you have to keep listening to find out. Nicole has 10 purchases you shouldn't talk about right now. Do we go with Rodeo or Star Wars?
Rodeo.
Andy has some tips on how to select a sales kickoff meeting theme. Michelle has the dumbest moments in business for the first half of 2009. And if we have time, I have something stuck in my craw. But first, the industry news. Andy.
I love when he says stuck in
craw.
His craw.
Get it out.
In a win for the ad specialty industry, a new Iowa law that bans gifts to doctors includes an exemption for promotional products. The exemption was granted after a nearly year-long process involving extensive legislative talks and hearings, as well as a letter-writing campaign spearheaded by leading Iowa distributors. The bill was listed as Senate File 389 and was recently signed into law. In other state news, California leaders have proposed instituting a withholding tax of 3% on all independent contractors. The move is one of many that the California legislature is considering to try to close a $26 billion budget gap. This measure would obviously impact independent distributor reps based in California, as their employers would be forced to withhold 3% of their earnings. Check out Promogram for a full report. And we have some sad news today. Lenore Goldberg, the founder and president of Premiums Plus, Inc., and the past president of SAGNY, passed away on Friday. She was 63. Plus, in Promogram later today, we'll have a new episode of The Joe Show, as well as our special State of the Industry sneak peek video report, so make sure to check those out.
Thanks, Andy. Speaking of the sneak peek, Counselor Magazine's State of the Industry is about to be released. I think it's going to come out next week during ASI Chicago. In the meantime, you've been giving us some tidbits about what's going on, so give us another little tidbit today,
Another
Andy.
Little tidbit. Let's talk products.
Okay, let's do it.
You bet. So we have a list of the top products sold in the industry last year, ranked by the percentage of industry revenue that each stand for. What do you guys think is number one?
T-shirts.
Not just t-shirts, bags. But shirts overall.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Bags.
Bags is two.
Mm.
Who can guess three?
Writing instruments.
No.
Caps.
No. You're all wrong.
Headwear.
Caps. Yes.
Oh. USB drive.
I cheated.
Over my shoulder.
Headwear.
Headwear is number three. Number four is desk and office accessories. And number five is writing instruments. Interestingly, there's been a bit of a shift in products over the past few years. Bags, Nicole, you nailed that one. That
I think he just called you a bag. But
A bag? A hat? What?
All right, moving on. In 2007, bags represented 8% of industry revenue. But thanks to the eco-friendly movement, bags represented 12% of industry revenue in 2008. So that increased 4 percentage points, which is a lot of revenue in just a year. Also, on the other side, writing instruments fell from 11% of revenue in 2006 to just 5% last year. So it's still a top five product, but writing instruments obviously took a little bit of a hit.
Wow. Well, that's good news for bag suppliers, certainly.
It sure is.
I know when we did our ad impression study earlier in the year, bags was one of the things that people held on to the mm-hmm. longest. So not only is it a hot seller, but it's great branding exposure for people.
On vacation last week, Disney was offering eco-friendly bags. If you had a purchase of $40 or more, you could purchase a special eco-friendly bag for $10. And I saw a lot of them in the park. So,
I'm sure.
How much would the bag have cost you if you hadn't spent the $40?
It was weird because there was no price on it. It was only offered as
so you
part
couldn't,
of
it.
It was a premium with
deal.
Purchase.
And I'm telling you right now.
Not a gift with purchase. They don't do that at Disney.
There's a lot of stuff to buy, and people in this industry aren't involved there. They should find a way to get involved
mouse
there because
ears,
they got a
Joe.
Ton of stuff. I'm thinking eco-friendly lanyards. There's lanyards all over the place.
Ah. Well, ASI Chicago is coming up next week, and we have a very special event on tap there for attendees. At the end of Education Day, guys, which is next Tuesday, we're having a women's networking reception in which our
Does that mean Joe and I can't come?
You know what? You can come. Oh. You'll be surrounded by women, so maybe that's a good thing. One of our speakers, Rosalie Marcus, is going to be giving some great networking tips there for women. Plus, women who attend will enjoy free food and drink and get a chance to network themselves. And we have Rosalie on the line this morning. Good morning, Rosalie.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Great. I'm very excited to be here today, and I've so much enjoyed listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you'll have to stay on for the rest of the show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great ideas here.
Now, Rosalie, you're going to be talking about networking, and you're in the women's reception next week. Tell us what some of the key tips are that you give to women.
Well, and, you know, if there are men listening, these tips are really for women and for men. So I don't want to discriminate.
All right, Joe,
here,
Andy.
No discrimination.
Okay,
here we
no
go.
Discrimination. And Joe and Andy, you are welcome to attend the event. You will be surrounded
by
here. Fabulous women. Fantastic. Well, I think the first tip is to go with a goal in mind for the event, and the goal should be to make some quality contacts, not how many business cards you can collect. Mm-hmm. Just make a few quality contacts. I think that's really important. The other thing is go several times before you decide whether a group is good for you or not good for you. And also, if you decide that a group is good for you, become a volunteer. Get active in the organization because people like to do business with others that they know, they like, and they trust. And being a volunteer and being active and being visible there definitely builds that know, like, and trust factor. And I think the best tip that I can give everyone that's listening is to be interested. And that means to ask interesting questions. Focus on the other person because networking is really about giving first.
Sure. Now, Rosalie, what are some mistakes that you see people making in networking?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is just going in and collecting as many business cards as possible. So you leave the networking event and maybe you have 30 to 50 business cards, but you never have time to follow up with all those people and maybe you didn't make some good connections. So as I said in the beginning, I think it's really smart just to go with a goal in mind and make a few quality connections and follow up with those people. So that's a big mistake. The second big mistake I think that people make is to start talking about themselves first. It's never about you. It's always about the other person. So go up to someone and start talking to them. Ask them a few questions to get them talking, like, you know, what's the best thing about your job? What do you really love about it? Or how did you get started with this type of work? So, you know, really get the other person talking and be interested in what they have to say. So those are two big mistakes that, you know, just talking about yourself, focusing on yourself instead of the other person, and just trying to make too many connections, and you become overwhelmed, and then you end up not following up with all the people that you meet.
Sure. Well, those are some great tips, Rosalie. Now, one last question. Who's a better networker, women or men?
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the hot seat here. I think they both can be great networkers. I think women are a natural at this because we just love to make connections and help other people. And, you know, I know men like to do this too, but I think women shouldn't be intimidated by networking. It's something that we do so naturally. We're always reaching out and helping other people. And I don't know about you, Melinda, but my friends are always sending me emails like, this is a neat thing to try, or have you seen this, or let's do that. And that's really what networking is about. It's about giving first. So I think women are great networkers, and I think men can be great networkers too. And how's that for being a diplomat?
Great political answer. Yeah. So in other words, women are better networkers.
Well, Michelle is world class. And
Michelle
I've
is
said
a
that.
Great networker.
And I'm looking forward to
as long
to
as
seeing,
something's involved.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing tons of women at the ASA networking reception in beautiful Chicago.
That's great. Well, we'll see you there, Rosalie. That's 5 o'clock at the end of Education Day, the Women's Networking Reception next Tuesday in Chicago. Thank you, Rosalie.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to start taking some more calls. We are asking people to call in this morning and tell us about the one piece of business advice they've received that generated sales or saved them money, two very good things in this economy. Call us now at 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, we'll send you a $25 Visa gift card. And guys, the calls are rolling in. On line three, we have Bob Heckler from Winbrella. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Michelle. How you doing?
This is Melinda and Michelle.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi, Bob.
We're good. How are you, Bob?
I'm great.
Bob, tell us your best piece of business advice you've received.
Well, it was a while ago. It was about 6 years ago. I was interviewing with a company, and they flew me to Belgium for the interview. And when I got there, the managing director looked and said, well, I've got three questions to ask you, which going through my mind was, this is an awful long way to go for three questions. We perhaps could have done this by video call. But and especially I felt that way after the first two questions took about 6 minutes. But the last one, he said, is, what do you do for continuous improvement? And I gave kind of a standard answer, but in the next hour and a half, what unfolded is this guy was a Tom Peters disciple, and it was all about continuous improvement, training, and development. And when I look at the statistics at how low attendance we get at many of the training events that go on at the ASI shows, I just want to encourage everyone that there's a wealth of information that comes out of these training classes, and a lot of the questions when people are asking, how do I improve, what do I sell, who do I sell to, their course is designed to address each one of these issues, and I just encourage people to continuously improve themselves in everything they do in their life, but especially right now, we're finding that the really key individuals that really, really want to make a difference are starting to attend these events, and it's heartwarming that we're seeing this, but there still is a lot more to be done, and we could get much better attendance if people would just follow these education classes a little closer.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card, and we look forward to seeing you next week in Chicago.
Thanks, Melinda.
On line one, we have Nellie, a distributor. Good morning, Nellie.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay.
Nellie, what's the one piece of business advice you've received?
Well, it might seem like a no-brainer, but I would say since I've started doing some self-promotion campaigns, I've really seen a bump in new clients and increased sales. I was really pleasantly surprised. So you really have to advocate yourself in this economy, and even little things can help. You know, wherever you can, whatever opportunity, just promote yourself.
Well, that's definitely great advice, especially in this economy. Thank you very much, Nellie.
Thanks.
Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And on line two, we have Nadine. Nellie and Nadine. Hi, Nadine.
It's the N show.
Hi, good morning. I guess it's the N morning here.
I guess it is. Nadine, do you have a great piece of business advice?
Yeah, actually, everything that Rosalie was saying, because I've started really making an effort to go to more networking functions, and I recently went to a local women in business group, and because of that, I've actually seen some more business growth and sales, and I'm getting more referrals, too.
Referrals is important. I think that's a big upshot from going to networking events.
Now, are you following? Yeah. Did you follow Rosalie's advice in terms of not just collecting a whole bunch of cards, but actually having meaningful conversations?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that anyway in my daily life, so that helps. but definitely I treat it as not just picking up business cards and being done.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for calling, Nadine, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks.
You can still call us at 215-953-4979. Well, guys, it may only be July, but this month kicks off the holiday selling season. Michelle, tell us more.
It does. People are not waiting any longer until the fall rolls around to start their selling. Sears and Kmart, both owned by the same company, have opened their online holiday store to promote Christmas shopping and holiday shopping. And
so there's already Christmas trees up in these stores?
Online, if you go to their online stores. Okay. Yes. So here we are in July, and they've already started. And the main reason
it won't be long before the regular stores have Christmas trees in July, I'm sure.
And it's to nudge consumers to start spending earlier and to kind of give their sales, in-store sales, a bump up. And what's funny is that I pulled the recent poll that we have on ASI Central, the results, and we asked people in the industry the same question. And a majority, 38%, said that they're going to start selling to clients for their holiday buying in August. And 31% say they're going to start in September, which is markedly earlier than it used to be in the industry. People used to wait, I would say, until October, early November to start.
That's smart, though.
It is smart.
It is smart because if you don't do it soon, if you don't do it earlier, then you end up competing with, like Michelle was saying, the retail stores that,
sure,
you know, and catalogs and those kind of things that clients could just go to. But if you present a plan early on, they might be more apt to.
If you want to offer something personalized and nicely packaged, that's going to take time as well.
I think a selling point to distributors' clients might be, listen, if you put your order in earlier, you won't have to pay, you know, late fees and rush charges. So it's kind of a way to save money as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why the stores are doing it, because they're doing layaway plans. So that's exactly why people should start now.
Who starts their holiday shopping? Like, when do you start? What month?
Probably November after Thanksgiving.
You know what? I buy throughout the year. If I see something for someone, I'll buy it.
So you're shopping now?
Throughout the year.
So you've already bought a gift for next
year? I've already bought a few.
Michelle's in constant shop
mode. All right,
Andy,
I know you're a Christmas Eve buyer. I am December. So we'll skip you. Joe?
December.
Yeah.
Steve?
The week before, for sure.
Steve's the week before, and Samantha? Okay. So Michelle,
What about you?
I'm early December.
Early December.
So Michelle's the earliest. You're just a year-round shopper.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard with kids, too, because, you know, kids are watching their after-school programs and Saturday cartoons.
They want whatever comes up.
Whatever comes up that week. It's like, you know, in October they want something that...
By the time December rolls around, they're like, I don't want that.
Completely different.
That's true. All right, guys, do any of you hate your boss? Please say no. I'm looking around the room.
No, we love
Steve,
her.
Do you hate your boss?
Good job, Steve.
All right, well, Nicole has some great advice for people who don't like their bosses. What's the deal, Nicole?
All right, well, these people are called unteammates or dysfunctional coworkers.
That's right.
So the boss hater.
Unteammates?
Unteammates, yes.
Unteammates.
So let's go through a couple. So the boss hater is somebody who says, like, lofty things like, I refuse to be oppressed by corporate lackeys. Okay, so.
Wow, that's
everyone's like playing at me.
I refuse to be oppressed.
But no, more like in meetings, you know, this person's sitting in the back of the room rolling their eyes when the boss is talking, you know, the boss walks away and they're complaining, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that's definitely me.
Everybody's looking at Michelle.
Yeah.
So how really do you think you deal with people like that?
Fire them.
Buy them Tiffany's rings.
I don't know about this advice. Isolate them. Refuse to listen to their complaints. And then you suck the energy out of them.
I would love to be isolated.
See, I think that's crazy.
Where did you get this advice?
This is CNN.com.
I think if you're isolating them, if you've reached a point of isolation, you need to get rid of that
person.
Yeah,
I think like, these people are ridiculous. The troublemakers, and they're probably let go.
You have to do what I do and befriend them and be really nice to them.
Oh, here we go.
No, it works.
Kill them with
Does
kindness.
Does it work,
kill
Michelle?
Yes,
kill with
Pollyanna.
Yes, Michelle.
Everything's great.
All right, so then these people, pity partiers, their MO is total inaction. So these are the people who can't work because they have bad backs, bad marriages.
We used to have someone like this here, but he's gone.
But I actually like the advice for these people. What do you do when somebody's like, my computer broke, I don't know what to do, I can't work? What do you think?
Give them another one.
Well, actually, this one says...
Get it fixed.
I love this one. It says, tell them to ask the boss for help. So I could say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Go ask Melinda. And are they really going to come to you and say, my marriage is crumbling, I can't work today, can you help me?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Michelle gets all those.
Throw gold to Michelle.
Michelle gets all the problems. Go ask Michelle. She gets all the problem employees.
Here's another one, Slider. Somebody who has had a brilliant career or has done really well at the company for, say, 5 or 10 years and feels like they can rest on things they did, you know, last year and the year before.
So what are you supposed to do with them?
Well, that one is another...
Don't raise your hand, Michelle. You're still giving it your
well,
all.
This is another one I'm not too sure about. Turn them into a mentor. Go to them and say, boy, you've written some Pulitzer Prize-winning articles. You know, teach me what you've done.
I agree with that.
Well, we had a slider here.
Really? And they slid right out?
Yes. I don't think we wanted the slider to be a mentor.
Ah.
Yeah, she knows what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, creativity is something many of us could use more of, and Joe has some tips to get people to think more creatively. Joe, what do you do?
6 tips. First of all, make brainstorming meetings mandatory.
Okay.
We should never know who's going to come up with a good idea.
You know what? We have staff retreats far too – I guess we have far too few. Whenever we have them, we come up with ideas for like 6 months worth of editorial content.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone has to participate, too.
Everyone is required to come with ideas, and it really is great.
Assemble small, diverse teams. So, you know, people with, you know, dissimilar interests might work good together. Keep it loose, okay? Keep it loose, you know, nothing too tight. There's a company that used to be in the industry, and I don't know if they're still around, Play. They were real big on creativity and brainstorming, and they used to have a room that was all white walls, and they would just sit there and write all their ideas in these brainstorming meetings on the walls.
Oh, the walls were like whiteboards?
Yeah, and then when the walls were filled, they just paint them over with white again.
Oh, that's cool.
Here's another one. Pick a slow time of year. And, you know, a lot of companies do have the time was particularly slow, so it gives, you know, everyone something to do. Give specific feedback. So in other words, just don't say, I don't like that idea. You know, tell someone why they don't like idea. But another idea I like that kind of plays along with this is, you know, don't poo-poo every idea. You can't throw up tombstones every time, that's stupid, I don't like that, because you never have any idea.
Of course.
That little idea could springboard to something that you're eventually going to use through discussion, so which is what brainstorming meetings are all about, and reward the best idea.
I like
that
idea.
If someone comes and... We do that at our retreats as well.
We do. We give out little gift cards and other spontaneous rewards.
And people vote on that too. So it gets everyone involved.
Yeah, people vote on whoever has the best idea.
Another brainstorming meeting that I'd like that happened a few years ago with a different distributor. They used to get disposable cameras. Bring everyone into a meeting room and say, go out to town. Just take pictures of whatever you want. Get them developed. A 1-hour development place will come back, look at the meetings, and it kind of sparks creativity. People are taking pictures of architecture and the park of old people, young people, animals and stuff. So it's a different way to get people's creative juices flowing. So,
Andy, you worked for a boss, I think, in New York City once where he just sent you loose for the whole day in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, he would have certain days that it was kind of like you were forced to just get out of the office and you had to just go find any. We were at a business magazine. You're just forced to find anything you could see that was business related, sort of sales or marketing related, and you know, spark any future ideas for.
And did he want to go home and take a nap? Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Not me, of course.
My dad used to take his staff to the movies.
There you go.
A matinee, and they really appreciated that. You know, he's an engineer, so it's not, you know, the height of creative employment, but
that's
still.
Great.
Fosters teamwork and all those kind of good things.
Well, now that it's summer vacation, some people are sending out postcards. Does anyone still send out postcards?
No.
No? Okay, my parents do. Anyway, others are sending out Coast Guards this year. Andy, what's a Coast Guard?
So the Coast Guard is...
Coast Guard. Yes.
It's a mix of a postcard and a coaster. So these are items that are aimed at bars and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They can have customized content on the coaster, and the key is that they're designed so that people in bars can share their experiences with the other friends or family that aren't there, and drop the Coast Guard in the mail.
So I think it's pre-stamped, or they have to put it? No, they stamp it themselves.
You can get them. The like advertiser, whoever buys them, could get them pre-stamped. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah,
Michelle, I would love to get Coast Guards from you when you were in a bar.
I'd like to actually get – that would be a good idea. I'd like to get like 5 during a one-night period and see how different they might be, you know.
That would be funny. Yeah.
That would be cool.
I like that. Okay, well, Coast Guard, that's a new concept. Well, Nicole, if you're going to get a boob job, probably one purchase you shouldn't be talking to people about right now. That's right. I said boob job on the air.
You did.
Nicole.
You said it twice.
Why shouldn't you talk about that?
Well, the premise of this is that you're a have and that your friends and colleagues are have-nots. So there's some nice ways to kind of, you know, make people that don't have something feel better. So,
in this economy, there's certain topics that are taboo.
Right. So, for example, lots of companies are selling off their corporate jets. Mm-hmm. There are companies like NetJets that have fractional jet ownership.
Sure.
And like 70% are corporate clients now. So if your company sells a private jet or you have one, then, you know, don't rub it in the face of your...
So Andy, stop talking about your...
You know, people that ride.
I got rid of my private jet last week. Yeah,
vacation homes. You know, Cape Cod last year, a 4-bedroom home was going for about $15,000 a week. Now they're cut by 20%, so you can get one for about $12,000. So if you've got friends who don't have a vacation home, Michelle, you should invite them down to yours.
Michelle doesn't want guests.
See what else?
So plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery
is... You shouldn't talk about that because it's considered too extravagant right now. Is that?
Yeah, even Botox and Restylane injections are considered kind of, you know, a little bit.
But can't you just tell anyway?
Well, you know, if it's done well.
Leave it up to the, you know.
One other thing.
You can always tell.
Cars, sales for Rolls-Royces increased about 27% in 2008 over 2007. So
really?
People are still buying six-figure cars.
But you shouldn't be bragging about it, I guess.
And you shouldn't roll up in one either.
Oh, okay.
In ASI parking lot.
Roll up in one.
I keep mine in my
car. I'm rolling my Benz.
Now, does this mean, like, can Michelle talk about her Manolo purchases?
We've talked about that before on the radio, that there have been articles that, you know, conspicuous consumption is not so good in this economy.
Right. Well,
not that I don't. I mean, I still wear them, but.
But talk about them? Oh, I just got the best new pair of Manolos.
But you can get discount in here. It talks about discount websites where you can get, you know, samples and other designer items. So you could talk about those as long as you've gotten them at a deep discount.
So you would say, oh, I've got this great new pair of Manolos, but I got them for half price.
Exactly. I'll tell you where you can get your own pair.
And so if you got a boob job, you could say, I got it for half price. Oh, but it was half price.
And this
price,
person wasn't licensed, but it's okay. Still look good.
Great. Okay. Well, there's some advice. How can people find out this list, Nicole?
We're
going to put it on our website. It's from Forbes.com.
Forbes.com, yeah.
All right. So don't talk about extravagant purchases right now. All right. Well, summer is the time when some companies have their sales meetings. And today, Andy's got some ideas on how to kick off a good one. Andy, how do you kick off a good sales meeting?
Well, the key is the theme. And obviously, companies, you know, try to come up with themes and different ones each year. And so I have a few points here that we found on how to create a good sales meeting theme.
Okay.
The first is to consider morale. You know, in periods of high morale, you could take more risks with the theme, maybe have more fun. And if, you know, morale might be a little bit low, then maybe the conservative approach could be the way to go. The second tip is to figure out what your sales goal is. You know, if you want to close bigger deals or increase profitability, whatever that ultimate goal is, the theme should somehow tie into that. And the third is, you know, to figure out whether you want to focus on the competition. A lot of companies use their sales meeting theme to you know, create
like
a kind of fight with their main competitor. So you want to determine beforehand if you want to do that. And if you do, then, you know, the sort of beat Acme approach or whatever it is one that you want to incorporate into the theme.
All right. Good tips from Andy Cohn. Thanks, Andy. Well, since half the year is over, Michelle is going to entertain us with stories of some of the dumbest moments of business for the first half of 2009.
I can't wait to hear this.
Where did you get these, Michelle?
CNN money. There's just never a lack of stupidity when it comes to business.
What are some of your favorite dumb moments?
There are many, let me tell you. And they're all going to be – I'll put this up on our website on ASICentral.com/radio. Let's start with Tropicana, shall we? The orange juice.
Let's start
with
that.
The new packaging.
They redid the packaging. Why? Who knows? Because it was perfectly good, and everyone hated it because it looked like generic packaging. So it threw people, it threw consumers. They didn't know what it was. They were so used to seeing.
It also looks more like a grapefruit than orange juice.
I thought it looked cheap.
Yeah.
Well, and it was hard to understand why generic. I should pay $4 for orange juice that looked like it should pay
they
like
wanted the old
–
and you'll notice when I put this up on the website, they wanted the old logo with the orange with the straw sticking out of it, which is very recognizable.
Right,
so Tropicana, much like Coke had to back in the day, had to pull it and go back – revert back to the old packaging. Then we have KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, who –
That's your favorite place, isn't it, Rich?
Well, it used to be when they had the broiled chicken.
Oh, okay.
But then they got rid of that.
I thought they just brought it back.
They brought it back, but it's dry and not as good as it used to be.
Okay. So what did they do, Michelle?
Well, KFC made this huge promotional push. They got Oprah involved, and they told people to go online and download coupons for free meals.
It didn't work for me.
Which they did, except they didn't expect such an onslaught and started turning people away. So it was like, yes, come into our establishment. use our coupon.
No,
we're not going to give you anything. Yeah, screw you.
Good one.
Lastly, and I hate this. I hate to say this because I love Apple. Apple is one of my favorite companies.
What did Apple do?
But they had a program called the Baby Shaker, and it was kind of a game on the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And it was that there was like a little picture of a baby, and to get it to stop crying, you'd have to shake the phone.
Yeah, that's really
that's a big no-no.
Shaking baby. So let me just tell you that they got quite a few complaints about that and had to yank that.
I bet you they did.
So there are many more. Go on our website and you can check them out.
All right, check out asicentral.com/radio. Oh, look, we have one more minute. That means it's time for Joe's rant, which we missed so much last week. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, let me tell you a little something about people who ride their bikes in traffic. So I'm driving home last night, and I encounter a number of bikers on the way home. Now, I know we're supposed to share the road and all that, but seriously, can they ride in the shoulder where there's plenty of room? On this particular road, there was at least a 5-foot shoulder. Sure, it's a little bumpy, and there was some broken glass shattered about, but it seems to be a better, safer place to ride your bike. But nope, they're practically right in the middle of my lane, which causes two problems. One, Andy, the paranoid drivers in front of me are afraid to pass them, a fear of hitting.
I hear you. I got your back, baby.
Although there's usually plenty of room. So they inch along waiting for the right moment, which causes problem number two. They swerve completely into the other lane to pass the biker, often as another car is approaching.
Oh, my God.
Does the biker really need a 10-foot berth? So when riding your bike, be careful in traffic. And when you're driving and looking to pass a rider, please, there's no need to move into the next country to get by.
Or how about you just ride in a park on trails?
Wow, so I guess you have a friend here with Nicole today.
Oh, yeah.
So much for the environment and reducing our emissions. I guess you're really in support
I'm all for riding in traffic. Just be careful.
We hope to see you next week in the Windy City, Chicago, when we'll broadcast ASI Radio live at our regular time, plus immediately before the show next Wednesday and Thursday, two bonus editions of ASI Radio. Hope to see you there.
Woohoo!